We have a quorum. The first conference committee on Senate file 2466 will come to order. I'm going to jump right into it and have Mr. Backus run through the side-by-side.
Okay. Thank you, members. There are two documents in your packets that you can follow along with if you want. The first one is the revisor side-by-side. In the top middle, it's entitled Cell Phone Tracking Data, and it's dated May 6, 1219 p.m. And then there's a side-by-side summary that House Research and I put together, which is also in your packet. And just so you know, the Senate language is on the left-hand side of both these documents. So beginning then, both the House and Senate in Section 1 on page R1 amends a provision in Chapter 626, which deals with access to records of providers of electronic communication services or remote computing services. Both the House and Senate amend this. The Senate does it by adding a new paragraph. The House does it by just adding a cross-reference. Basically, what both bodies do is we cross-reference the new Section 2. And the intent here, I think the House and Senate are on the same page. The Senate might be a little bit clearer in what its intent is, but basically it says for law enforcement to get access to location information from these providers, you have to go through Section 2. Section 2, then, is the meat of the bill. I'll go subdivision by subdivision. The first subdivision in both the House and Senate are definitions, and these provisions are identical except for one important concept, and that's the Senate uses the term and then defines the term tracking warrant. The Senate definition is on page R2, line 2.28 to 2.30. And as you, I think, all know, that's one of the main differences in the bill. The Senate report, the Senate describes what needs to be obtained by law enforcement to be a tracking warrant, where the House uses the phrase court order. Continuing to subdivision 2 on page R2, this is where both the House and Senate require the government entity to secure either the tracking warrant or the court order before collecting electronic device location information. These provisions are similar. There's a difference if you look on page R3 at the top regarding access to this information in emergency situations. Both the House and Senate allow access without either the warrant or the court order. The Senate allows it for situations involving immediate danger of death or serious physical injury. The House requires it be in situations involving risk of death or serious physical harm. So slight difference in terminology, but the Senate does require immediate danger. And then the Senate further provides that the emergency must require obtaining the information without delay, that the search must be narrowly tailored to address the emergency, and the government entity document the basis for the access and set forth the grounds for access to a court within 48 hours. Subdivision 3, the House and Senate are identical except, again, for the reference to court order versus tracking warrant. And then on page R3 to R4, the House and Senate both have notice provisions whereby people or entities who have their location information collected would get notice. There's a number of differences here. Basically, the Senate has a general rule that there would be disclosure within 3 days, and then the Senate would allow delayed notice in certain specified circumstances. And then the Senate would allow the government entity to request a delayed notice at the time of the warrant application. The House basically provides that an order would be automatically sealed for 90 days or until the order's objective has been achieved, whichever is shorter. The House authorized the prosecutor to request that the order not be filed and specifies when that request would be granted. And the House provides that notice would be given no later than 90 days after the unsealing. So to generalize a little, I think it's fair to say that the House notice provisions would require slightly less information to be disclosed. The House would require that the judge and not the government entity would make the disclosure, and the House provision would more likely result in a delayed notification compared to the Senate. Subdivision 5 of both the House and Senate addresses reporting to the state court administrator and the legislature. The House does not require the reporting of emergency access to this information where the Senate does. And the House legislative report is provided every other year, not annually, at the Senate's. And then finally, there's one other provision, which is the Senate Subdivision 6, which is basically kind of an exclusionary rule being put into statute, and it prohibits evidence obtained in violation of the section from being admitted in any criminal, civil, administrative, or other proceeding. And it would require a 10-day notice to parties when evidence collected under the section is to be offered as evidence. There's one other thing, I believe there's at least one other amendment before the committee. It's the A8 amendment. And this would basically, it deals with the application for a warrant. And if you look at the A8 amendment, lines 1.7 to 1.13, it's basically additional information that would have to be provided at the time of the application. So again, a little more particularity.
Great, thank you, Mr. Backus. At this time, we'll take public testimony. Mr. Neumeister.
Mr. Chairman, co-chair, Atkins, and conference committee. For the record, my name is Rich Neumeister. I've come a long way. 25 years ago, I was in this same building dealing with wiretaps, electronic communications. So you have to applaud yourselves, policymakers, that we're doing something that's taken a long time to do. And I have to give thanks to Representative Atkins and Senator Peterson for listening to people like myself or whatever, just who doesn't get paid to do these kinds of things, but realize it's an important thing to do. And as part of being at many conference committees, I know that there has to be compromise. And we all know what those certain things are. So I applaud you. And I think we're on a precipice of passing something. But secondly, one thing, though, that I want to be able to be clarified about, because I understand that there are discussions, and I've been privy to some of those, to where there might be some of a compromise element. One of them is where it would take, on page R4, would take subdivision 4, the notice provisions of the House. Sarah Metzen, come on in. Learn something. Mr. Chair, the whole issue about this notice at the House and the House side is basically taken from Rule 3304 of the court rules. So if someone can be on record, explain distinctly how will the subject that is getting their records will eventually get notice that you are a subject of this tracking warrant. And it's not too clear to me because on lines 326 through 331, it's basically a prosecutor can have an order, a tracking warrant, and other kinds of things sealed off. But what is the mechanism or the statement or the law or the thing that sort of says, yep, only for so many days or this situation, it becomes unsealed to where eventually down the line the individual subject gets notice and gets notified. I just want to make sure that there's not permanent secrecy on this kind of thing, which, as both chief authors of this bill know, that was part of what was the old law was. There was basically permanent secrecy of notice under the old pen register language. And here, this is being achieved. So, Mr. Chairman, co-chair, that is my main point, and I'm just asking that somehow be notified on the record.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Neumeister. Appreciate all the pro bono work you do on behalf of Minnesotans. I actually would like, my understanding has always been, as it relates to 3.26 through 3.31 in the House language, that in fact was not an indefinite suspension of notice, but rather a temporary suspension based upon the conditions that are in the paragraph. If there could just, maybe just real quick, if somebody from law enforcement could clarify that is in fact correct, because that was my understanding, certainly the intent.
Mr. Chair, my name is Drew Evans. I'm the Assistant Superintendent at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. I would, just to clarify that, I agree with you that that is the purpose behind that. And when we drafted on the House side, that it was delaying to be more consistent with how we do delay in filing or notice with search warrants currently. So it's more in line with those practices.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Atkins.
For the record, as the House author, that is certainly the House's intent. It is not permanent, but merely a temporary situation, as Mr. Evans described.
Okay. Thank you.
For legislative intent. Senate author, House author, and law enforcement.
That's perfect. Thank you, Representative Atkins. All right, members, I think we'll move into some agreement here on the sections. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And before I start moving sections of the bill, I like you. I just wanted to acknowledge all of the help. This does not necessarily have built-in constituencies. It's not the kind of thing where folks even knew that they were being tracked via their cell phone. So they oftentimes wouldn't just naturally show up here at the Capitol. People like Mr. Neumeister, ACLU, and the law enforcement community and the people that represent them have done a fine job of stepping up for an issue that does not necessarily have that built-in lobbying community or government relations community have done a fine job. We have had the benefit, Senator Peterson and I, of meeting with them throughout the course of the session and as recently as Friday to go through some of the language and make sure that we understand what the concerns are. And we've, with the understanding that the A8 amendment would go on, have managed, I think, to find peace in the valley with respect to both sides' concerns. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would move in a series of motions here, various elements of the language that Senate Counsel has done an excellent job of describing.
Right.
I would first move, Mr. Chairman, the Senate language from lines 1.2 through lines
3.10.
Sure. Representative Cornish.
When are we going to do the amendment?
I was.
It was when we do it. This was one word. I just wondered if we could add. It says tracking warrant up at the top, and then it says warrant. If we could put tracking in front of warrant on line 1.10, so that we're consistent with what we call it.
And Mr. Chairman, my. I would leave it to the chair whether you want. I can offer the A8 amendment to this language, or we can just simply adopt the Senate language from 1.2 to 3.10 and then go back to the amendment, whichever you prefer, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's adopt the Senate language and then do the amendment. Representative Atkins.
That's all I've got. That is the section that Senate Counsel described relative to description of the records. And then the device definitions, it's primarily definitional, but it does set out, as the Senate noted, a tracking warrant description definition.
To the A8 amendment, Senate Counsel has an opinion on the language and the insertion of tracking before warrant on line 1.10.
Mr. Chair, members, just, and perhaps this is something you might want to eventually just defer to Mr. Deeble and Ida to work out. The rest of the bill, we don't keep on repeating tracking each time. We kind of say it once each paragraph and then say warrant. So it would probably make sense to either add it all the time or just, have the AA that's written. And, if you want, Mr. Deeble and I could probably work that out.
Mr. Deeble.
Mr. Chair, another issue that I noticed on the A8 amendment is on line 1.7. It reads the identity of the government entities investigated or law enforcement officer. And the definition of tracking warrant. Reads that it'll be directed to a peace officer. So the warrant is directed specifically to a peace officer by definition, and then the amendment talks about being issued to an investigative officer. So I just want to bring that to the attention of the committee and how we should resolve that.
Okay. That's fine. We can make that inclusion, the peace officer inclusion.
Mr. Chairman, just clarification. Have we acted upon, were we taking up the Senate language and then going to go back and act independently on the amendment? Right now before us, we have not voted yet on lines 1.2 through 3.10. Do you want to vote on that now and then vote next on the amendment?
Let's do that.
Okay. Then I'll just renew my motion with respect to the Senate language to be adopted from 1.2 through 3.10.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those no. It is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I'll then move the A8 amendment with the addition that Senate counsel is about to assist me with.
Mr. Chair and members, it would just be on line 1.7, delete investigative or law enforcement and insert peace.
Mr. Chairman, I will incorporate that amendment, renew my motion, and ask for support.
All those in favor of the A8 amendment, say aye.
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 All those against, no. The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I will then move lines 3.1 through 3.3 of the House language, and that is with respect to emergency situations that involve the risk of death or serious physical harm. That I believe was our Kelsey Smith law.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those against, no. Adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I'll next move lines 3.22 to 3.31 of the Senate language regarding the time period and extensions relative to the tracking law.
Those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Those against, no. It's adopted.
Mr. Chairman, the House language is next up. I'll move lines 3.13 through all the way through 4.20. And this is regarding the notice requirements and reporting requirements.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Those against, nay. Motion is adopted.
And finally, Mr. Chairman, the one remaining piece in the bill is lines in the Senate language, lines 5.14 through 5.24 of the Senate language. I'll move that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against, nay. Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that is the entirety of the bill and the peace in the valley that's been arrived at by the various stakeholders. I did want to note, and I'll make the motion at the end, there's some magic language at Senate Council usually, and Mr. Peeble, that allows them to go through and make sure that they've made any necessary revision without substantive elements, but I want to make sure that there aren't other questions or concerns that members have.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Atkins. I have a question regarding what we did here on the oral amendment that was adopted on the A8. I've been informed, and I just want clarity that we didn't, that this pertains to government entities as well as peace officers and not just peace officers.
Mr. Chair and members, just to clarify, as Mr. Deagle pointed out, the Senate's definition of tracking warrant means an order in writing in the name of the state signed by a court other than a court exercising probate jurisdiction directed to a peace officer, granting the officer access to information of an electronic device. Mr. Deagle pointed out that by its very definition, it has to refer to peace officers. So I think that's why we changed that. So it would read the identity of the government entity's peace officer, because that's the only person authorized to get a tracking warrant.
Wonderful. Is there any further Representative Cornish?
And then, do we need an amendment to talk about the tracking in front of each time the warrant's used, or would that be what they're able to, be okay with?
Okay, if you could share your thoughts.
Mr. Chair and members, Mr. Deagle pointed out something that I think the committee may want to consider. On page R3, on the house language, which we adopted, 3.20, there's a clause that reads the fact that during the period location information was or was not intercepted. It would probably make more sense to insert a term like collected there or obtained, because you're really not intercepting that. So I guess this people has collected here, so I guess that could be a good amendment for this.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that change on line 3.2 of the House language to change the word or to have it read the fact that during the period location information was or was not collected. So inserting collected rather than intercepted.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those against? The motion is adopted. Did we, on the issue of tracking warrant before all of the language, I guess I'd like counsel's opinion on whether or not that is in fact necessary to achieve the ends that we're after here. Yeah.
Mr. Chair and members, when I drafted it this way as a floor amendment, working with law enforcement and prosecutors, I basically just referred to tracking warrant the first time within, say, a paragraph. And I think it's a little redundant to keep on having to say tracking warrant. It reads better just to refer to warrant than thereafter.
I would agree. And as long as we've made a record of it, I think we should be fine.
Okay.
Good.
Right. Council, what would be appropriate? Is there any further testimony? Saying none, okay. What would the correct motion be here to adopt the side-by-side?
Mr. Chair, members, I think you would just adopt the side-by-side as amended and direct staff to prepare a conference report and, again, give us the authority to make those necessary technical changes to make it all work.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion is adopted. Nice work. Thank you, everyone.
Good work, guys.